There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here this hour. And this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. That's my buddy Trey, doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin counties for 14 years now. And here's my New Year's pro tip. If you've not heard this before, if you made a New Year's resolution to get more organized, right, in 2022... it's way easier to organize fewer things. Huh? How about that? Listen, if you got junk around the house, you want it gone, you got junk at the office, you want gone, got a storage unit you want cleaned out, you're not going to spend money on that this year, whatever it is, you got the junk, you want it gone, and you want a crew that has worked for me here at the radio station, worked at my home, worked for Dan, worked for Dalton. I mean, we got folks that we do business with, and we're telling you, the people we choose, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So give them a call or go online. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com is the website, or call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Set up that appointment. Get Trey and the crew to show up and see you and get that appointment set. Do it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right. Let's do, and Dalton, for some reason, I've lost the headphones in here, and I don't know if there's anything going on in the, let's see there. Anything going on in the back room there, if you want to check that out. But I can do this. Hopefully you can still hear me. I'll bring on my buddy Dale Leash from Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com. Hey, man.
Hey. Nice to be here.
Good to have you here. There's a pile of things that I want to talk, I don't know, a stack of things. Pile versus a stack is organized. So, yeah, it is organized at lanyapmobile.com.
I don't know. Pile is probably more apropos. We can go with pile.
Okay, so a pile of things. Okay. We'll start off first with camping. Now, you know, Dale, I like to camp. You know, I'm big into camping. I like to camp.
Right.
I also choose places to camp that aren't in the median. So it was and also to add to this conversation, our studios, you know, we're here at Airport and 65, and there's a lot of urban camping that goes on here in this area. City Council is going to debate an ordinance against public camping. Talk to me. What's the story there?
Okay, this is, it's pretty simple. If you're, as the ordinance is written, and right now it would prevent even, you know, you from going out and camping in a park, Sean, if you wanted to take your, I know your kids are older, so you wouldn't do this.
No, I got a Cub Scout. We got Cub Scouts, man. I got Cub Scouts. We go camping a good bit.
Yeah. This would, right now, as written, this would prevent even the Cub Scouts from camping in the parks and stuff like that. I think they're going to have some carve outs for like permits and stuff to allow you to camp, you know, temporarily in a park and in public spaces. This, although the sponsor of the bill says that it's not really aimed at the homeless population or folks without housing, it does appear that is part of the consideration. It literally just says.
And I'm having a little trouble hearing you right now on our connection. Hey, Dale, Dalton, I'm telling you what, if you want to, I'm going to put him on hold. If you can get with Dale, I don't know what was, if it's happening on our end or it's on Dale's. Maybe it's, even though it's not freezing, maybe it's early icing. Maybe it's early icing that's causing this. I'm not sure. It's 49. Shouldn't be any early icing, but something very strange going on and on my side of things. So once we got him back on, let me know. I don't know what was... Was that on my end? I don't know. All right, so, and we'll set this up, because you can come back on with us in just a second here. But this ordinance... So, I mean, this is dealing with the people that camp as a home, right? People that are the homeless population, even though there's a quote here, they said, I think it was Councilman Ben Reynolds who said it was not about addressing the homeless issue. And this was during a conference meeting, said it was a health issue. So is he back on? So we'll go to, all right. Let's see if we got him here. Press the right button. All right. So, Dale, as we were saying, all right, sorry about that, but we just lost your signal.
Okay.
All right. All right, so you're back. So we're talking about this camping ordinance. So it's because you quote Councilman Reynolds saying this is not about addressing the homeless issue. Then what is it? Then what else is it about?
It's public health and safety. So you know they did cleanups for the Martin Luther King Day of Service last weekend, and I think you know he saw the amount of litter and stuff that was out in District 4, and I think he got thinking about trying to fix that problem. And one way to do that was, in his mind, was to prevent, you know, people from camping, people from sleeping, you know, under overpasses or...
Yeah, but it's not the Cub Scouts.
Like
I mean, I'm going to be...
So this was the remedy.
But it's not the Cub Scouts that are camped out under the overpass, you know?
No, it's not. It's not. But as written, it would prevent anybody from camping in parks or... you know, stuff like that. Now, like I said, they're going to have carve-outs for those sorts of groups, I think. But right now, as written, it would prohibit anyone from camping anywhere on public property.
I mean, you know, we've talked about this many times on the show, should want to help homeless folks, and there's all different kinds of homeless folks, but help those folks out. But what he's saying about picking up trash, man, just my slice of life at Airport and 65, where we got a lot of folks coming through here, there's trash. There's piles of trash they can put up. I mean, right there by airport, right under the overpass, right out in the open, over here on the other side by the service road where we are. I mean, there's piles of trash.
Right. And it's, you know, a lot of it has to come from people just throwing stuff out of their car windows.
Oh, we got those people too.
Back of their trucks or whatnot.
Oh,
right?
We got those. Hey, listen. We got those people too. There's plenty of just litter bug dirt bags riding around town throwing stuff out. But when I see stuff back off the road piled up, I took pictures this morning. I forgot to post these on social media. There were two different shopping carts parked in the middle of the service road today on my way to work. I mean, and full of junk.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. But here's the thing too. There's going to be a question of enforcement on this, right? Enforcement's going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The penalties start with fines, which who's going to pay the fine? And then there's also jail time. And you know, I don't know what the answer is. And this may be the answer. We don't know how the other counselors are going to work on this and kind of massage it to get it to the way everybody wants it. So there may be a lot of changes coming. But you know, right now there's a lot of questions.
Okay. But so they're going to have is it tabled till this next coming meeting, or how long till they do this debate?
If they're going to table it till this next coming meeting, then it's going to be the subject of a public safety committee meeting where they're going to kind of discuss it more in depth and kind of get to, you know, brass tacks on it. And I don't have a date for that meeting yet, but as soon as I do, I will report it.
All right. Let's also talk about in council news here, or city news, something you and I talked about last time, and that is the redistricting plan for the city of Mobile based on new census data. You have a story out this week, Stimson's redistricting plan questioned. Who's questioning it? What's the question here?
Well, there was a local pastor and a local voting rights advocacy group that questioned it. And I have to say, even when I spoke to you about what the plan was, the plan had already been changed after meetings with city councilmen and councilwomen, and even before those meetings took place, apparently, the plan had been changed to District 7 had been altered in some way. Because I told you that there was a pretty significant black majority going to be moving that would be part of District 7.
Mm-hmm.
That has been cut a little bit since we last spoke. So like I talked about the camping ordinance, this is also a work in progress. And to be fair to the mayor's office, they told us that the numbers would change. I just didn't think they'd change the next day.
Yeah, you told us to expect those changes. You did last time we talked, but it was probably happening as we were talking. So what is that?
It was already done, yes.
And I guess that change to change it so if you're changing the demographics, you're changing the geography of the district, right? You're moving lines.
That's basically what it is, yes.
So you say, okay, we're going to move back from here and move over there. But then when you do that, I mean, I don't think this is rocket scientists, then you're going into another district, and now you're going to affect that district's numbers.
You're altering the numbers of that district. Plus, I mean, you can't separate neighborhoods. You can't, there are many rules that they have to follow per the DOJ to ensure that that this is done all above board. So yeah, there's a lot of things happening, and the concerns were basically concern voting age population in District 7. Voting age population, while as amended at this point, I think, unless the plans have changed while we're speaking again, Sean, the plan would be to remain, as far as total population is concerned, four majority black districts and three majority white districts, or two majority white districts and a non-majority district. However, if you go to voting age population, it goes back to basically District 7 loses that black majority in voting age population. It goes below 50% for both black and white voters. So that is the issue that is being called out now.
But you'd have to change it. You'd have to change it whatever DOJ requires. But I mean, if you said, okay, we're only going to base this on voting age demographics.
Right.
Well, but next year.
And that is the disconnect. Yeah, and that is the disconnect here, because we have some folks who are basing it on total population, which is what the standard has usually been, total population. You have other folks looking at voting age population. And I can see the argument for people who base it on voting age population. If your goal is to give folks, disadvantaged folks, a chance to vote someone that looks like them into office, or historically disadvantaged folks, let me put it that way, then you want to ensure that the voting age population is a solid majority. However, if you look at total population, we still have four black majority districts, so there's an argument to be made there, too. I get both. I actually see both sides of it.
As do I, but I would argue that if we were in a system, which I'm not trying to grow government to do this, if we were in a system that they reassessed every year, right, what the voting age population was, that'd be a good thing. But we're not. We're something that's going to happen once a decade. So there's going to be possibly 9 years of it being out of whack before it gets set back.
No, you're right. Right, and actually be less than that if the city annexes, we could be doing this in a year again. So have fun. It was a pretty contentious debate among the city councilmen. So you can understand, this is a pretty sensitive issue for folks, and we'll just have to wait and see. But like I said, the numbers that we have publicly, I know, have changed since we spoke about it, and have probably changed since the last time I looked at them. So really, it's a situation where we're going to have to wait and see what is officially presented to the council, and then we can work off of those numbers, because they won't change unless the council changes them. I'm curious to see what the mayor does, because, I mean, they've already taken feelings into account and have changed the districts around already. I don't know what else is going to happen.
Hey, can you hold on during the news?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, coming right back, because I got more questions for Dale Leash from Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. We'll be right back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 125, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. My man Dale Leash, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, with us. And I want to talk about that, because as we kind of wrap up a little bit of our discussion of this redistricting story, you need to look at the numbers, you need to follow the reporting on this, because like Dale said, it's changing all the time. So, Dale, remind folks how they can get signed up for the website, for the e-newspaper, all that stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Lanyardmobile.com is the website. Go through the prompts. I think we have a subscribe button right there at the top. Just click it, go through the prompts. If you have any problems, just give us a call. Somebody will be glad to help you out. We really appreciate the support. Like I said, we're locally owned. The people that own the company are right there, you know, telling us what to do on a daily basis and whatnot. So please help us out. Subscribe. You can get the subscription comes with access to all of our online stories, plus a digital version of the paper that comes out each week. And then, you know, if you still want a copy of the paper, those are out on our purple boxes everywhere you see them. You can't miss them.
All right, yeah, two more Mobile stories, and then I'm sorry, Baldwin County folks, we'll get back. But I want to, number one, just say you reported on the city's bond rating being upgraded again by S&P. This was a big deal when now Mayor Stimson, when he's first elected, right? It was a big change, and he came on the shows and I think talked with y'all how big of a difference that meant for what we were paying in debt service.
Right. Right, and it does. It does pay. It does make a difference for what they're paying in debt service, that they're a credible debtor for sure. But if you'll remember, I think the first time I reported on this back in 2014, maybe even 2015, Moody's had decided not to downgrade the city. But instead, I mean, they were downgraded initially to an AA2, and then they were not downgraded again. And then they've come up all the way now. They went from an AA minus to just a double A, which is, I think AAA is the best rating you can get. So they're getting close to a pretty good rating. And a lot of that, the report said, was due to, good fiscal management and better separation between capital spending and general fund spending, which was a big issue in previous years where you saw, the use of capital money going into the general fund, pretty much at will and just having no money for capital projects. And the council deserves some credit for this as well, because of the CIP is a big reason why there's such a regimented separation between capital and general.
Yeah, but there was a fight about that, right?
I mean, years ahead of where we were.
But there was when this happened, as I proved, there's certain things. I talk about the moon pie, right? The moon pie got so much grief and ends up being a big win. There was some gnashing of teeth about these changes that were made by then a young Mayor Sandy Simpson, young in his job.
Right. No, he came in immediately. And you'll remember he made changes to the initial budget that had been approved before Sam Jones left office. And so yeah, absolutely. I mean, he deserves the majority of the credit for sure for turning everything around financially. And I think that's why stories like that are important to report on.
Yeah, and it's great that you do what you do at LANAP to report on these, because they're not, you know, it's not like a ribbon cutting when they reopen a street. It's not like some high profile story that gets a lot of cameras in somebody's face. But this is a huge thing for people that live and pay taxes in Mobile.
It's definitely not a sexy story
right, either.
Let's not get it. No one typically cares about financial stories at all. But yeah, it's important for people to know how their money is being spent. And it's been the most, I've told people this over and over again. Like, if you want a direct line from your pocketbook to what the government is doing with that money, local government is where it's at. You know, you should participate in local elections. You should pay attention to local officials, because that is the first, the first stop on where your tax dollars go is your local economy.
Well said.
Your local government.
Well said. Man, I always appreciate our conversations. I'll check back with you next week.
Yep. Thank you so much, Sean. See you next time.
Hey, see you next time. Dale Leash, LANAPmobile.com, and we will be right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.
135 FM Talk 1065 Midday Mobile. By the way, Dr. Bill says, you heard it, chance of freezing rain overnight. It doesn't, and if it happens overnight, maybe best chance, if it does happen, would be around daylight, daybreak tomorrow, which means, you know, got to take it easy on bridges and overpasses just to make sure they're clear. And, of course, be tuned in. We'll be giving the latest from the roadways as your morning gets started tomorrow, so we'll be able to help you out with that as well. Dr. Bill, at the beginning of the noon hour, talked with me, not any kind of, you've seen freezing rain once in a while around here, but upstate, you've seen those events where, like, it piles up on a tree and the limbs break off, trees come down, power lines. He said not... If anything happens here, that's not what's happening. It would be like a glazing on roads and overpasses, or bridges and overpasses. So do be aware. Also be aware of my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Angelo, how are you, man?
Hey, man. Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm good. I started thinking about this. So we, you know, last couple of times we've been talking about the Silver Eagles and all these things for people to buy. But y'all also buy from us, and you also give people those free appraisals, which I know I've had at least two family members come see you to do exactly that.
Well, you know, we all have stuff out there that we know is worth something, but we need to know what it's really worth in the current economy and the current marketplace. And so you don't want to go out and spend $100 to get something appraised and find out, you know, you just basically just dropped $100. So we do those appraisals for absolutely free. That way you can find out what your stuff is worth, whether you want to hang on to it, whether you need an insurance appraisal, whether you want to go ahead and sell it. Maybe you need some cash to pay for Christmas. Christmas was a little too good, or maybe that potential ice tomorrow got you into a ditch and messed up the car. You never know. So those free appraisals are still a thing, and we're doing quite a few of those right now.
And on the kind of the more somber side of that, something that y'all will do, if somebody has passed and they have, you know, there's these things that are left to be split between the heirs, that often turns out to not be a warm and fuzzy. The arguments start because somebody values something at a certain amount and maybe that's not right. Y'all will go tell us what the things are actually worth, right? An independent arbiter there.
We're going to give you an upfront, honest, and neutral appraisal. And I think the fact that we're neutral in this whole discussion with the family members really helps out a lot of times, because one person might be really upset and really convinced that there was an expensive coin, expensive piece of jewelry. And when people bring stuff to us, whether it's the executor or the entire family coming in here, and we go through and give it an evaluation and say, hey, this is what we would pay you for it today, this is what this stuff would retail for today, then they know at that point that that's, you know, pretty straightforward, pretty fair and upfront, and they don't have to worry about what grandpa said that little silver dime was worth or what grandma said her ring was worth.
Yeah,
I mean, right there in front of them and no fight.
It's a great service. I mean, y'all are, as well as being retailers of a lot of great products, y'all are consultants on this stuff. So I want to make sure people, they may not need you today on this, but to keep in the back of their mind, they get in that situation to ring y'all up and come see you and get those appraisals. Tell folks how to find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street, online, mobilebaycoins.com. You can always check us out on Instagram and on Facebook. Like and follow us there. If you want to hear us talking about coins, gold and silver, new stuff coming in, every Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5, Two Guys and Some Change airs. If you happen to miss it there, well, then shame on you, but you can still catch it on the website, Two Guys and Some Change.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, sir.
You too. Angelo, check it in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. A lot of text coming in on the garbage or the camping ordinance for the city based on garbage. And we're talking to Dale Leash from Landyap about his story there. I guess they'll be debating that on this coming week's city council meeting. Here's the problem. So you want to address something specific, but you make a law that bans camping everywhere. So maybe you could make certain areas, like there's really no reason, and what I'm getting to is there's no reason to be camping there in the median. You know, if you wanted, because I think in some of the commentary here, and we'll watch it when it comes back up next week, but I think it was, I don't want to be wrong on this, but I think it was City Councilman Carroll who had said something to the effect of, you know, like if you put this ban out for camping on city property, you're going to ban like families or groups or whatever. And then you heard Dale say, well, you could have a special permit to be camping there for public camping. But I mean, could we generally say, you know, if you're camping out in the median there or alongside the road, that's not, I don't care if you're Cub Scout troop or you got somebody who's homeless. I mean, you can't do that. But people were, a lot of text about this telling me, thank you, telling me where the
the garbage was. Listen, we the hot spot of it's right here by us. And then somebody's saying homeless people around Airport and Dolphin Street. A ton of them found a dead body there years ago. Yeah, there's a lot of folks in the undeveloped private property parcels too that are in. But the city is specifically in this addressing, you know, the questions about the public property. This texter says, I wish they would address the homeless issue. They have taken over this entire city. I mean, everywhere, well, I agree with you, unnamed texter, because this is our city and it's more than it has been. But you look at some of the stuff that goes on in California and elsewhere. Wow. But it goes on to say, they've taken over the entire city. I mean, everywhere, every part of it, as they're walking across major traffic areas, panhandling, trash is correct, scaring and freaking out folks everywhere. Laugh out loud. It's insane. I got to get this picture. I took a picture this morning on the way into work where I was stopped. I was stopped at the traffic light. Way back in the traffic light. Yeah, one of those pictures did come out. There were two shopping carts that were parked in the middle of the, now that could have been just punk kids, rascals doing that, but there were shopping carts, which are, for an urban outdoorsman, often the transport device of choice for gear. And they were parked in the middle of the service road there, pretty close to studios here at Airport and 65. All right. Listen, we'll know, people are asking, the law has not gone through. This is something they're going to be debating at the next city council. It's an ordinance against public camping. So we'll watch that. You heard the news update and the discussion of what President Biden said about like minor incursions. I heard that this morning, and I was taken aback, too. I was like, did everybody else hear that? Basically, did everybody else hear that? And I know Dan and Dalton had talked about it. So, well, here's an update. So Ukraine president has pushed back on Biden's choice of words, saying there are no minor incursions. Story from Fox News said the White House has clarified, thank goodness, clarified its stance and said any Russian incursion would prompt a response. Ukrainian President Zelensky today slapped back. Did they write that slap back? Slap back at comments made by President Biden during a news conference during which he suggested the size of a Russian invasion could alter how the U.S. and NATO respond. Zelensky said in a tweet, "We want to remind the great powers that there are no minor incursions and small nations, just as there are no minor casualties and little grief from the loss of loved ones." End quote. And then he says, I say this as a president of great power. Okay, good. I'm glad you're a president of great power. Ukrainian president's comments appear to be in direct response to Biden saying that an action by NATO following a Russian incursion depends on the size of the invasion. You heard that in that clip, right? The quote here, Russia will be accountable if it invades, President Biden said yesterday evening, and it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having to fight about what to do or not, etc. But if they actually do what they're capable of doing with forces amassed on the border, it's going to be a disaster for Russia if they further invade Ukraine. The president was then questioned by reporters that the U.S. and NATO would not respond with sanctions should Russia carry out a, quote, minor incursion, end quote. Biden did not directly clarify his meeting. Instead, the president warned that the severe sanctions on Russia and its Nord Stream 2 pipeline would have economic repercussions, not just for the Kremlin, but for the U.S. and its European allies. Biden also said that not all NATO member nations have agreed to slap Russia with tough sanctions if it does invade the former Soviet Union. You know why that is, right? It's oil, right, coming from Russia. What's more important to some of those nations, being part of NATO or the price of petrol in their countries? So they've gone back here and they're trying to clarify. I know Jen Psaki did, and here it is. It said, the White House has later clarified its position in a statement that warned the Kremlin against any incursion. Now they're serious. If any Russian military forces move across the Ukrainian border, that's a renewed invasion, and it will be met with swift, severe, and united response from the United States and our allies. That came from Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Question is, too, I mean, all this, and I get it, because the minor incursion thing, I think it's a big flub in realpolitik, but what would we do? I mean, what would we do? Have you asked yourself that? let's say tomorrow, God forbid, the Russian forces come rolling across Ukraine. They come and they advance. They go to Kiev or whatever. What are we supposed to call it now? Kiev, that place, Kiev, Kiev. They roll to the capital. They roll through. How far would you take it? I mean, nothing against Ukrainians, but I have everything for Americans. What would you do? What would be okay? We gonna just sanctions? Are you gonna send men and women over there? What would you do? Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 343-0106, I guess 251-343-0106 for the text line or the phone calls, a good old-fashioned way from your Sports Illustrated football phone there. Or you can use the brand-new FM Talk 106.5 app available on at the App Store for iPhone users. Just look for FM TALK 1065, and the same search is true for Android users over at Google Play. Just look for FM TALK 1065. Don't put the point between the 6 and 5. It screws it up. I don't know why. It just does. So check that out. And a lot of features on there, from streaming the station to the first place or podcast post to the latest traffic information, traffic maps, weather information up to date, all on there. In addition to that, you can also, on the front page there, you'll see a microphone icon. If you'll mash that, you can record a message and it emails it to us here at the station, and we can play it back there as well. So just another way to get in touch with us here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, unnamed texter, watched the president yesterday. Boy, did he struggle. That was like 2 hours. It's a lot. Judy, if you think we have a homeless problem, it's nothing compared to Portland, where I spent 3 weeks. They even closed off streets and sidewalks to not disturb homeless sleeping in tents and under tarps. I have pictures. Yeah, Judy, I've seen it. That's what I'm saying. But one thing I will say, that this is home. This is here, right? It's just like when I sometimes talk about the violence issues, and they'll say, well, it's worse in this other city. And I go, yeah, but I don't live there, right? This is where I live. This is where I do care about other parts of our nation. But this is home, right? So I'm more engaged. Glenn says, I'm driving down I-10 now, and the trash is ridiculous. Spent a lot of time in Colorado and Utah last summer. Gosh, I love those places. Those are nice places. Mobile is disgusting compared to those places. With the trash, it is. It is. And is that their cleanup efforts, or is that that the trash doesn't get thrown out? I can't remember seeing trash thrown out of vehicles when I was there. You know, I spent a lot more time in Colorado than I did Utah. But listen, I'm incensed by it because this is where I live. All right, Grant says, does anyone else feel like they're listening to Charlie Brown's teacher when you hear Biden trying to speak publicly and take questions, or is it just me? You remember, I learned how to make that sound effect. I can do that here because I have a sheet of paper. Pretty good, huh? Excellent work. Excellent work. Yeah, that's what it used to sound like when all the teachers talked, right? Bill says, the minor incursion comments remind me of Neville Chamberlain telling Hitler, that's okay as long as you don't invade any further. Right. Bill, nice reference. Nice reference. Did I mention that over the weekend, because it rained one of the days or whatever, and I had to be inside, I watched Dunkirk finally. I know it's been out for a long time. Highly recommended if you're a student of World War II. It's just a good film, but really tells that story from, well, three different perspectives. So it's very, very good. Here's the problem, Bill. And I absolutely hear what you're saying. And I stopped in my tracks if I would have been walking when I heard that comment in that cut this morning. But what do we do? So thank you. Keith in Agricola said, good question, Sean. And that's what I try to do. It's not all political. You know, it's let's ask some real questions. And the real question is, what would you do? What would you do? Now, would have failed to come out and say, you know, minor incursion, but not a major. But the what are we going to do? I mean, I think Russia is playing on that too, not just because they don't have the fear of President Biden that they might have of other presidents, but I think they've got a sense where the American people are, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a whole bunch of saber rattlers out there. You know, I mean, there's always the neocons, and that's one thing that's the reason why I don't. I've often been at odds with whatever the conservative air quote here thoughts of the day are, because I am a person that has to see a very good reason to see my friends go to war, and you know, and their children go to war. So what do we do? You sanction them, right? You sanction the heck out of them. But what about this? Where are you going to get Russia? It's oil, right? Oil exports is where you're going to sanction them. But you have these fellow NATO countries that are highly dependent on that oil coming out of Russia. So it's going to be harder to snatch them up by their sideburns and drag them along with us to get NATO to act unilaterally here. I mean, it's even in the story that Fox reported, they said some NATO countries aren't exactly sure about what they... Yeah. So which allies, and when President Biden, you know, when they reclarified today and they said the U.S., and let me paraphrase, let me find the quote. Yeah, it says, so this is the clarification of the previous comment. So this is what I think Jen Psaki said today. If any Russian military forces move across Ukrainian border, that's a renewed invasion and will be met with swift, severe, and united response from the United States and our allies. End quote. What is that? What would that severe? Swift, okay. What would severe? And if that is, if we say, okay, well, we're going to put a blockade on Russian oil, but what if these other NATO countries say, well, but except for us, we're in. Now, I think that's the time you really put pressure on NATO countries, say, you like this NATO protection? How much you like it? Yeah, that's what I would do. But when you say severe, would you commit the first American to Ukraine? The way I mean, it's horrible. I don't want to see Ukraine, you know, reconstituted into an old, you know, Soviet state. But where I sit right now, I'm not loading up our men and women to go there. I'm not. Maybe some of y'all are. Maybe maybe you've got that kind of, you know, find me a war. I'm not there. Maximus says, famous Lyndon Johnson quote, I will not send American boys 9 or 10,000 miles away to do a job that Asian boys should ought to do for themselves, referring to Ukraine. Yeah. So you could supply them, which we already have, supply them with arms. The only thing I would, in the political chess game here, I would say, and I'm sure we have, to Russia, I said, tell you what, you want to play this game, you know, and keep making these threats, then we'll make it serious because we'll make them a NATO country. We'll give them, what is it, Section 22 or whatever, protection. Because that's what Russia's worried about. They're being a NATO country right there as well. Plus, they want the resources out of Ukraine. But beyond that, you can tough talk and saber rattle and do all these things. Are you, and I don't care, I'm not saying this because it's a Democrat president. It was a Republican president. I'd be saying the same thing. You're going to you want to commit U.S. troops to Ukraine? I think the answer is no. Then you go, okay, we'll get severe sanctions. But what if you have the other, the way the sanctions work is not if we don't take Russian, well, that's not the issue. It's Germany. How are you going to get them to say they're not going to take it? And where are they going to get it from then? And how are we going to supply it? It's a backlash, right? It's a backlash reel right now that's got to be picked apart very, very carefully. And so the commentary and the rhetoric is important as well. I'll leave the rest of the afternoon's rhetoric to Paul Feinbaum. He's on the way next. Get a chance, come out and check us out tonight. Tiger Talk Overtime with Doug Holton, live at Voodoo Wings right there by the University of South Alabama. Auburn number 2 in hoops. Lots to talk about.